There's another little book coming, and it's called, it was sent to me by Shambhala, and there is a karmic connection. It wasn't sent with any sort of a cover letter, other than this was something that's being planted in the Dharma. And it was from Shambhala, and that's... But in this book that was sent to me, it was Katagiri Roshi. I never met Katagiri Roshi. He was born in 1928, and I was born in 36, and I think Roshi's born in 31. So he was older than Roshi. But when he passed away, I forget what the reason. Maybe Roshi was headed toward Japan. So he sent Jitsudo and myself to represent Roshi at the funeral. And I did meet Katagiri's wife. And she was stunningly beautiful to my eye. And she was so gracious when she heard we were there representing Maizumi Roshi. She invited us over to her quarters. And she served us tea. And what struck me is that she was somewhat ageless. Ageless. See, there was graying hair. But the face was stunning to me. And it brought back to me something Roshi had said, and he was talking about women. And he said, Nyogen, women who truly practice in the Dharma, he said, they grow more beautiful as they age. See, and if it's true Dharma, I have seen some who profess to be practicing and are shocked by watching how their faces implode and they become uglier and uglier. And I'm not going to go into where and how I've seen it. But it stuns me when I would look into her eyes, that clarity and that openness. And there for me was the living example of what Roshi had talked about. So when this book shows up from Shambhala, my initial things, God, come on, I hadn't heard Roshi talk much about Katagiri. Oh, I did meet Katagiri's successors, and it was a deathbed transmission. He took his senior students, and he said, all of you have transmission. And some were young, and some had practiced for many, many years. Some of his people were relatively or fluent in Japanese. He had sent them there. They had practiced in monasteries. See? But I was a little, you know, reserved about what I thought was at that point the expression of living Dharma. So when I later talked to Roshi, I said, Roshi, he just said everybody that's a senior there has transmission. And Roshi said, yes, he was broadcasting seed. He said, at that point, that's all you can do, is you throw the seed out and you hope that some of it takes. I haven't followed. The Minneapolis Zen Center nearly collapsed for a while I was head of ZCLA. On one occasion when they needed money, I had the Zen Center send them a nice a donation to help them keep their heads above. But they're still in the business. They're still running, see? And so this book, I had a little bit of misgivings because contemporary teachers that I have known, I have been unhappy with what they've had to say. I've seen it primarily as surface and shallow. And then I said to myself, Nyogen, don't do that. Here it is. You have a connection. He is a Soto master. Read the book. So I started with the book, and I, at first, found my critical nature pulling back and saying, wouldn't it be better to say it this way? And then I said, what are you doing? See, just read the book. And all of a sudden, I found that I was taking delight in the book. And you begin, Mushoku has started looking at it, and she talked about there is a lightness to it. And then what I realized is that Katagiri, see, truly loved the Dharma. And throughout his teaching, he talks about that if it doesn't bring you into the most joyful, rewarding state, see, as your very point of being, then your practice is wrong. Ours isn't a grim, miserable practice. This is a practice of joy. See, what a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I began to revel in it. And of course, the book is, he's talking and using some of the fascicles from Dogen Zenji, and it's on being time. See, and the title of the book is Each Moment is the Universe. And that's absolutely true. And if you really apply yourself in deep samadhi, at some point you'll realize that. And you'll begin to see that each moment, see, is complete and total in itself. Now in here, many of you are really beginning to grasp this thing. See, if you can stop the ruminating mind, if you don't try to understand what I'm saying, if you can simply sit there and look out. See, if you're stuck there forever, that's what it means to be stuck in the cave. See, because that sense of separation has to drop away. But the path is there in front of you, instantly. You don't have to worry about it. See, just stop ruminating. It doesn't mean to suppress your thoughts. It means don't develop your thoughts. And so I want to share just a little bit of his teaching. Is the book out now? It's out now? No, okay. Well, Enter will have some. It's nice, and it's on Being Time. And this title, Each Moment is the Universe, is the absolute truth. It's the absolute truth. He quotes Dogen, and he says, we swim on the surface. Where's the surface? Think in terms of the great ocean. A surfer, the wave. See, where is the surface of the wave? You can see it. You can see its direction. You can see its duration. Swim there. See? And he said, and simultaneously walk at the bottom of the ocean. Katagiri loves this quote from Dogen. Do you understand that? Your wave as it rises up. You play on the surface. Where is the surface? This is the surface of the wave. This is the surface. This is where we play. But we walk on the bottom of the ocean. You find me, for me, where that wave ends, or even infinite to the bottom. You can't find where there is the separation between the wave and the bottom. What will I call this bottom? I'll call it a Laya consciousness. I'll call it the absolute. I'll call it Dharmakaya. See, I'll call it the great Muji. See, that's all that can be said. And this is the absolute, and it is eternal. You can't separate from it. That's where the classical materialists, see, that's why we have produced the world of samsara the way we have. See, do you understand that each one of us, each moment, is the universe? That's what the great Fayan, when we worry about falling into emptiness, there's nothing to fear there. Yang Wu said, falling into emptiness, that's good. Fall into emptiness. Get there in a hurry. See, get out of this trap. See, but play on the surface. See, think about it, this wave and the vastness of it. Can you see? It's a marvelous, marvelous metaphor for this. See, classic almost as a living analogy of it. Look, where is the bottom of the wave? See, it's right at the very bottom. You come out of it. All things come out of this eternal place. In classical physics, they'll talk about, see, matter can't be created. It's a process of change. Nothing can be lost. Nothing can be gained. What is that, the third law of the conservation of energy? See, what an amazing thing. And realize, folks, that's us. That's us. And none of this means squat if there isn't the consciousness here. See, almost the classical physics, see, almost hated life and hated human beings. See, now some of the physicists, and some of them, not these aren't way out in the Lulu land, are beginning to say more and more, the younger ones, more and more, it appears that the universe is being created for no other purpose than our purpose. Now, you can begin to see the joy. And when I look and see, I can't tell you what it does in my chest. See, the chakra, heart, exquisite. See, this is what we are. When you're in fear, why? You are the universe. Fear, is in the realm of ego. He said the opportunity to live is something vigorous, just like a leaping fish. And he says that leaping fish is eternity. He says, is eternity something that exists forever? How daring of him. You won't find anybody. Oh, God, eternity? See, well, let's even enlightenment. Oh, come on. And this man, he doesn't talk about enlightenment from La La Land. See? He said, yes, it is eternal. But eternity is not something fixed or absolute. Eternity is leaping and alive, constantly changing. That's what you are. And it doesn't play out, see, in stupid vacuum. They used to say, the scholars, and many of them still do, Buddhism is fatalistic. Nirvana means non-existence. See, extinction. And Roshi in his younger years would go really ballistic over that. And I heard him once pounding on here, this, no. He said it isn't negative. See, this shunyata, this emptiness, this eternal you. See, he said it is the scream of affirmation. This is the living, vigorous. See, look at it. See, it's absolutely amazing. See, the subtlety, though, is to escape from the snares of samsara. And we don't do it by pushing this away. He said, we cannot pin down exactly what it is, but we are alive because something supports our life and helps us live, something that exists always. This is called eternity, or the absolute. See? And I've used other names for it. Your Buddha mind. Enlightened mind. See, he goes on to say that human beings are originally peaceful and harmonious because eternity is alive in our daily life. And it is the support. See, the Sangha, the treasure of the Sangha, harmony. See, if we can only enter into the great oneness, and he will talk about it. He says, this great ocean of oneness. He says, when egolessness comes up simultaneously with practice, practice is free from suffering. You become free from your own body and mind and experience complete spiritual security. This is the place of drop away body and mind. And again, don't try, and he goes over this and over this, don't try to conceptualize this. Then now, let me guarantee you, one of my most vivid memories of my training at Mountain Center, and it was an intense period. Doman was there, walked the whole 90 days. We sat the first true 30-day sesshin there. And Mountain Center, in some sense, the beauty of it was it was constant practice, wasn't it? It wasn't like here, people go out to the shopping malls or the movies on our breaks. You didn't. There was no place to go. And after a while, you didn't want to go. Was it tough when you finally left? Yeah. Well, I didn't want to leave. See, there is something beautiful, something so magical about that amazing place. And in the midst of that, I sat and had this most amazing experience of sitting in absolute samadhi in the body of oneness and thinking, wow, this is far out. How in the hell could I ever tell anybody about this? And I was just sitting in the now. But I could never explain to you what it's like to sit in the now. Buddha couldn't do it. None of the great masters can do it. Katagiri can't do it. Maizumi Roshi can't do it. He said, you just can't pin it down. He said, you become free from your own body and mind and experience complete spiritual security, stability, and imperturbability. This is called emancipation. Emancipation, the individual, direct experience of human life, is the culmination of the quest. Now, again, what I'm trying to emphasize for you, for those of you still, are you pursuing a goal? Are you pursuing a spiritual power? Are you wanting to set yourselves up as teachers? Start some organization? Unfortunately, that's what most everybody wants to do. And those folks that aren't here got caught in those kinds of things. Different shading because of different karma. But they all wanted something other than what they are. Practice is to transform your life. That's what he's telling you. It's vibrant. It is the eternal. See, and once you break free from the ego shell, see, you want not. There is nothing lacking. Dogen, when bombarded with questions about this way or that way, he said, practice first. See this. Then ask me. He said, but what you will have found is that all of your questions will have been answered. He said, actualization is not just the manifestation of your individual experience of the truth. It is your life interconnected with a tree's life, a bird's life, water's life, spring's life, autumn's life, and the life of the whole universe. See, if you stay caught in this narrow shell, you suffer. He said, Buddhism teaches that all things, those that we can see and those we cannot see, those we can think of and those we cannot think of, those we can imagine and those that we cannot imagine, must be accepted as beings in Buddha's world. We should accept all beings and understand them, see where they come from, look at their face, and at the same time, we should be free from all being, no attachments. This is the vibrant, vital flow. This is what you are, and it has great intelligence. But it can only be experienced, you can only enter through this place of not knowing. He says, so just accept all aspects of life, of your life, whatever they may be. Don't push it away. Become enlightened. See, transcend, see, the constraints of the egocentric world. He said, this is called freedom. And freedom is not escape from suffering or any of the various aspects of human life, but acceptance of the true nature of beings as the Buddha. And I will tell you, his whole teaching is rather joyful. So I am going to encourage, I think this is nice, and for some of you, wonderful, wonderful book when it comes in. It isn't going to be a hammer like reading some of the scholarly books. It's him sitting down. One of the delightful parts for me, I immediately had to read it to Mushoku, where he talks about how he hates giving talks. It gives him headaches, and he just wishes he didn't have to do it, and his sense of not having the words to express the Dharma. So that made me feel better.